Seeking the Lord's blessing, let's turn together to the passage read in Proverbs chapter 3. Really consider the section verses 1 to 12, but especially verses 5 to 7. Proverbs chapter 3, let's read again verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. The book of Proverbs brings before us some very important and significant teaching. And I suppose, especially for the boys and girls that have joined us from Sunday school, that this is now the end of Sunday school, and then this week, the end of school too. And it's a time to look forward to, a time of enjoyment, a time of holiday, a time of a break. But it also reminds us of the value of what we have just experienced, of the things that we have been taught. And the important thing when we've been taught something is how we respond to this. And whether we're still in school or whether it's been a very long time since we were in school, we can all in some way appreciate and understand what this means. And the Bible especially is teaching us the kind of people that we ought to be, how it impacts and affects our lives, the way we live our lives and the way that we portray ourselves through different challenges and situations, the kind of people that God wants us to be. And stating that, we're all, of course, very aware of the power of our image. And people understand and appreciate this because they prepare themselves and they get themselves ready every morning to display and to show people the kind of message they want to give about themselves to the world. And maybe some people spend a lot of time in the morning getting ready, and that's in order to show the kind of people that they want to be understood to be. And maybe some people don't spend a lot of time getting ready. And that itself is giving a different kind of message, a message that is speaking against what they perceive as being the conventions or norms. Yet that is part of the culture that we live in, that people examine and sometimes even judge you by the way you look or the things that you wear and the way that you portray yourself. But the Bible always wants to come more deeper and wants us to examine more deeper. And the Bible is longing to have a lasting impact deep in our heart and soul. And as we often prepare ourselves at the beginning of every day in terms of our external being, the Bible encourages us to spend time every day preparing ourselves internally, in our souls, to face whatever challenges that will be in our own situation on that day by the grace of God and by resting on his sovereignty and his majesty. And so the book of Proverbs becomes for us a very practical instruction, a book that teaches us about wisdom and tells us to find and live for wisdom in our lives, to look for what is really important and to live by it. For there are so many things that are unimportant, but the Bible calls us to find what is really important. It gives us an instruction manual, the whole of the Bible. We've been taught that it is our only rule and guide. It is what we live by. And the book of Proverbs especially speaks to us to live by wisdom, particularly, that this is the teaching that has been passed on. this is the right way to live what we have learned. And here in chapter 3, we have what we've learned here in this famous and well-loved chapter, and especially as we have it in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. These are good words. These are great words. And these are words that are to be applied and lived out, to be followed in all of life. We look back at what we've learned over maybe a school year, or maybe many years, or maybe even in all of life. Maybe we can all think of a time where we've been under the teaching and the sound of the instruction of wisdom. But we aren't just to hear and learn these things. We're actually to do something with it. We're to live out what we've actually learned. This is why instruction has been given. And that is why we can look back and see the benefit of it and see that it is to be applied each day of our lives. I want us just to spend a few moments here together today to reflect first of all on the teaching. In verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching. This reminds us, of course, of the refrain that we have here in the book of Proverbs, where the language is, my son, and the passing on of instruction from one generation to another, to pass on something that is of true benefit, that this generation passes on to the next generation what is truly of benefit and blessing above everything else. And what has been passed on here is spiritual instruction, what is good for the soul and what is good for all of life. And many can themselves appreciate this and can understand it in their own lives, where previous generations have passed on wisdom and passed on spiritual teaching. Paul speaks of this relationship in the life of Timothy, saying that Timothy's mother and grandmother both had faith and passed on what they knew to Timothy, to such an extent that Paul speaks of Timothy having the same faith as those generations before him. It is a blessing of receiving instruction from those who are experienced in spiritual learning and spiritual wisdom. And the greatest inheritance that they could give to others is to pass on what they've learned and known and received for themselves. And for us as a people and as a community, we stand under tremendous privilege, the privilege of the Bible in our lives, in the life of our church, in the life of our community, in the life of our community throughout generations, and in the life of many families, that the Bible has been passed on as the instruction and wisdom of life, and passed on even also, of course, in Sunday school too. And we reflect on these things, and we say that this is a blessing to us. Maybe in the moments we received the instruction, we struggle to be motivated or to enjoy as we should, but that we see the value later on of how valuable this wisdom is for all of life. That the greatest thing that could be passed on is being passed on. Spiritual blessing. What is good for the soul. And not in the kind of fashion where it's looked on as something just to try and receive and lay hold of at the end of life. Some way of an escape from a lost eternity. But the reality that it benefits and blesses all of life. It transforms and changes everything. It is something that is to be lived out on a daily basis. And it's true that this spiritual wisdom, this spiritual instruction, is not held in the same high esteem that it has been historically, even in our own communities. But it ought still to be valued by us. We face the challenges of a different age. An age that is struck by confusion. that doesn't know right or wrong. It doesn't know what it is. It doesn't know anything. And it's averse, in any sense, to truth. And a lot like Pilate, there is this element of confusion and dejection, where he is there at the judgment seat with Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "What is truth?" That is the spirit of our own age. And the challenge that we have is to put front and center in our lives the reality of absolute truth as what is valuable and beneficial and what shows us the way to live. And that we have this is a wonderful privilege that has been given to us. He says in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching." And what we see here is that as the one whom he is speaking to is moving from this moment and moving out into his own life, he is urging him not to neglect what is really valuable. In everything he is able to give him, he says this is the most valuable thing of all. The beginning of Proverbs, of course, there is an inscription to Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. Now, Solomon himself was arrayed like no one else, a great king who received great wealth and who had great wisdom. And the one thing that he sees that is worth passing on in all that he has is the teaching that he is given, the spiritual blessing and wisdom, that he is calling the child to embrace this, embrace what is important, realize the tremendous privilege that God has given to him, a privilege that is to be lived out for all of life, not just in youth, not just when you're a child, and not just in old age. Rather, the word of God and spiritual blessing and spiritual wisdom is something that belongs to every day and every season of our lives, that we are to embrace this truth and to face the challenge of living by it. In verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And immediately, we are being told here that there is a tension between a kind of faulty thinking and between this wisdom. And the tension that exists is a tension between our way and God's way. And the reality that when we go in our own way in life, we often lack direction, purpose, meaning. And it becomes of us that often we go down wrong roads and wrong routes. And we bring a lot of harm and hurt upon ourselves because of the decisions we've made. We get ourselves into trouble. We place ourselves into harmful situations. And here Proverbs reminds us that there is a better way. A better way than our way. A better kingdom than the kingdom of self. It's God's way and God's kingdom. And here the Bible is equipping us for life. For everything we face in life. The Bible helps us to think. It helps us to feel. It helps us to live. It helps us to face all the challenges that will be in our own lives, every situation that will be before us. We are being encouraged to be employing a Christian worldview, to have our thoughts and our minds set in a Godward direction, with an eternal vision, seeing the things that are unseen, rather than being bound in this world and bound in this life and thinking that the only thing that is valuable is the things of this world. There is a greater life and a greater treasure. And the Lord is calling us to put our trust in him and not ourselves. For this is what he is saying in verse 5. He is speaking of trusting. It is the whole point. It is the encouragement to faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he is encouraging this from the earliest point possible in life. And often people think, and they are mistaken, to say that they're to come to this point of trust in the Lord at the last point in life. And that would cause us to miss out on so much. The reality is that we are to make the most of life by putting our trust in the Lord with a full commitment, all your heart, every day, every moment, in every way, with your whole being. The Hebrew word for heart speaks of the inner being of a person. And when we engage all our heart in something, when we are all-hearted or full-hearted in a thing, it means that we are giving it our all, it's everything to us. We are absolutely and fully committed to it. We are giving our all our heart to trust in the Lord. He speaks of it in verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. And this is really like wearing some jewelry or a necklace. And write them or inscribe them on the tablet of your heart. And the metaphors here are speaking of relationship. When you bind this on your heart, on your neck, what you are doing is having something as physically close as possible to you. It is there right with you. You feel it all the time. And the manner in which it is inscribed in your heart, it is there as the motto of your life. And it is there front and center of all that you are. This teaching of wisdom that he summarizes in verse 3 as steadfast love, chesed, and faithfulness. That it is everything. Everything God says to you of his covenant love and of faith. And that you are to give this wholeheartedly. In verse 6, all your ways acknowledge him. He will make make straight your paths. In everything you do in life, in all your endeavors, in all your ambitions, in all that you are, he is speaking here to this succeeding generation, and he is calling them to be a different kind of people in every area and every aspect of life. Ought we not to take the time and the moments, not just to contemplate on what we've been exposed to and what we've learned and the teaching, but to contemplate on this issue too of our trust, to reflect upon what kind of people are we? What image are we portraying to the world? Are we portraying the image of people who have taken steadfast love and faithfulness and we've bound them on our necks? And we've inscribed them on our hearts, everything we are, and every part of what we reflect, displaying the reality of spiritual wisdom, of living out what we've learned. In our journey through life, in all your ways acknowledge him. Where are we going in life? What is the direction of our daily activities? Where are our ambitions? Where are we going to? Where is the destination? We know where we've come from. But where are we actually standing? And where are we actually going? What are the things that we are doing? Here, we are being told in everything, in all that we are, everything is to the Lord. Paul speaks of it as taking every thought captive. All that we are in our being, and wherever our path takes us. For there are times and moments in our own experience when we realize that we are in situations that are not of our own making, that weren't part of our plan for our lives, that we come to these situations and we understand and know this is God's will. God's put us here. God's put this situation in our path. This situation is our path. And often it can be greatly challenging. And we're being asked, whatever the path is, wherever it has taken us, whatever challenge is there, trust the Lord with all your heart. Sometimes what comes in the path of our lives and in the will of God is that which we ascribe as being good, making us happy and joyful, special moments and occasions, and we find it easy to say, every good gift is from our Father in heaven. But there are some situations that don't feel so good. And that's where the challenge comes. Sometimes there are situations that we ought not to have let ourselves into. Other situations are not of our design. And in verses 11 and 12, he speaks of the chastisement of the Lord, the reality that sometimes God is there with a heavy hand upon us. That is as much the will of God as the situation we call good. The temptation really is that we would charge God foolishly. Let us learn what Proverbs teaches us. Let us not be fools. Let us be wise. Let us affirm the reality of who God is. God hasn't caused a situation to hurt us. He's given the situation to shape and mold us. God loves us. He knows what's necessary for us. He is like a correcting father, ensuring that we do not stray, but that we are shaped and molded. In verse 7, he says, turn away from evil. He's telling us not to go down an evil path, and it is so easy to do. There are so many temptations and enticements to do wrong. All of the world has these different voices. The book of Proverbs brings this to us. All these voices to entice us away from the path that is right, to place some kind of embarrassment upon us for staying in the path of the Lord, to cause us to suffer and to entice us to sin. And God is telling us from his word not to do it, that it is a greater damage to go down the way that is wrong. He tells us rather to avoid evil, to avoid sin, and rather to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Because this word is speaking to our very attitude about life and about God. What are we living for? Who do we understand God to be? What do we understand when we think of who God is? Here we are being told of him in verse 12 as a loving father. In verse 9 we're told that he deserves our honor. In verse 9 we are actually told that we ought to fear him. What does that mean to you when you're told to fear the Lord? And often we think of our accountability and God as our judge. But the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord as something that is healthy and beneficial and good. We know that there is something of a healthy fear. We know it in our own situation here. When we go up onto the rocks and we look at the sea, a healthy fear comes over us. We know how powerful and dangerous the sea is if we don't give it respect. We're humbled by its power. And in some way, this is the reality of which we have the healthy fear that the Bible speaks of. We need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. We need to know the fear of the Lord, because the Bible teaches us that this is the beginning of wisdom. This is the first thing that will begin to make us wise. And it's coupled with honor and devotion, even in terms of the relationship that we have in verses 9 and 10 with our possessions. How we devote what we have, what we're living life for. A very simple test of our faith is time and money. How we use it, our relationship with it. A simple challenge of sacrificial service to understand and know that these things don't really belong to us. I read an interesting article some time ago about the change of people reading books. People used to buy a book, and still, of course, do buy a book, and then they could pass the book on and share it or leave it to somebody. With electronic books, you don't have that. You don't actually own the book. You can't actually pass it on. You can't actually leave it to somebody. It doesn't really belong to you in the same way. That's true of all our possessions. It doesn't really belong to us. Friends, we're merely passing through. Everything we have is borrowed. It is for a moment. Everything belongs to the Lord. And this is the attitude that we ought to live life by. And we ought to be committed in our trust to the Lord. He speaks here to us as we've reflected on his teaching upon trusting. And there is also treasure or a reward. God blesses us. If you are willing to follow God, he will reward you. He will give you treasure. The way of God is the way of blessing. This works out on an individual level in the reality of the quality of life. In verse 4, you will find favor and good success. You will have joy. You will have joy if you follow the Lord in the way that Proverbs 3 verse 5 tells you, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do we have joy? Are we really trusting the Lord with all our heart? In verse 60, he makes straight your ways. He'll give you safety. He is our refuge and our strength. In verse 8, brings you healing. He heals your soul. In verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. He will provide for you. It's the picture of the satisfied and refreshed soul that has committed itself to healthy spiritual living by the exercise of trust and the consuming of truth, applying all of these different spiritual aspects of coming to wisdom, being exposed to it, and living life by it. And the blessing that is involved in it, the greatest blessing of all in verse 12, is the sense of belonging. Belonging to the family of God. To know we are his possession, his people. It is trust that takes you in to the family of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. He is calling us to be the kind of people God wants us to be by living out what we've learned, by being wise, by not just knowing the right thing, and knowing what is expected even of a Christian. You all know that. Not just knowing it, but actually doing it yourself. So that you know blessing for life. And not just that, but that we would follow the example here. My son, do not forget my teaching, that we may too be involved in passing wisdom on from one generation to the next. And seeing the wonderful blessing of people laying hold of trust and giving their lives fully to the Lord in order to receive the greatest blessing of all, to be part of of the family of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bless and praise you for your word and for your kindness to us. We pray that you would be near to us in all that we seek to do, that we would trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Bless us then, we pray. Bless our time that we're approaching to with the prize given for the Sunday school. And forgive us our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119 on page 402. We'll sing verses 33 to 37. We'll be standing to sing, and after the benediction, I'll go to the door. But again, I would encourage folk just to stay for a few moments with the Sunday school in the hall for the short time of prize giving. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to observe it to the end I shall my heart incline. Give understanding unto me, so keep thy law shall I, yea, even with my whole heart I shall observe it carefully. In thy law's path make me to go, for I delight therein. Psalm 119, we'll sing verses 33 to 37, standing to praise God and remain standing for the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.